And welcome to our second podcast for the Blind Pen Pals Light Across the World project, where we're talking about mental health impact of losing sight or having no sight. And that seemed to be a big thing that maybe came up in the discussion on Facebook page last time. But just before we start that, I just want to introduce who's in the room with me. We've got Dr. Murray Thurston again from Abate, and we have Miguel Wigan,
Hi.
Freshly back from
Macedonia,
where he met up with Adriana.
Yes.
So really lucky to have both of them with me, and I'm Amanda Hawkins again. And today we're recording in Belfast. Belfast is in Northern Ireland, still part of the UK, but a separate little island just off the coast of England, and it's where the Titanic was built. And historically, I think there's been quite a lot of trouble here, but a very settled and a very beautiful place. So
yes.
We're very lucky to be here. And I'm hoping you'll notice the sound quality, because we're actually in a recording studio this time, as opposed to Mara's university, aren't we?
We are indeed.
So hoping it's a lot better. So just continuing that discussion then, and thinking of the threads that we picked up on last time, some of our members of the group picked up, is the mental health aspect different from those that have never had sight or had poor vision since early childhood, and for people losing their sight loss later on? What do you think, guys?
I think for those people who acquire sight loss, so they lose their sight later on, there is a particular process that they go through. And I think that might be, there's some similarities perhaps, but maybe some fundamental differences if you're congenital blind.
Right. What about you, Miguel? Do you have any thoughts on that?
I would have just would have thought that for a person that's lost their sight recently, and you know, that wasn't born with visual impairment, I thought it was going to be a lot more difficult for them to cope and to come to terms with, plus the shock factor that, you know, that their life has suddenly changed in that way. So I thought it's
it's not just
more.
The sight loss, it's also the change in the circumstances in their life.
I don't know why the word trauma, but yeah, that kind of, you know, suddenly they've just lost their sight. So it must be amazing. It must be a really big impact on them.
Yeah.
That's what it must be.
So I think from the perspective of working in counselling, I think there are two different things that you need to look at in those groups. When you lose your sight later on and you've had good sight, the work's very much about loss, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's about, you've had something, you've lost it, your life is not the same
managing
again.
Managing the loss.
Managing the loss. And yes. I think it's a lot like a bereavement.
Yes.
Yeah.
So when you've lost a close friend or a relative, and then suddenly you're adjusting to living without that. And we talked a bit about that last time, didn't we, about life not being the same, but it's different.
I think like the loss part is one very significant part of it.
Yeah.
But I think there's other factors as well. But I think you're absolutely right. There is that sense of grief and loss.
And another, I was just reflecting on a case study that we kind of got involved with at RNIB, of a young woman who had poor vision and was registered blind since birth, and he became really quite unwell because just the constancy of dealing with her sight loss and living in a sighted world really got to her. And unfortunately she did take her own life and at the age of 36, and she was saying to mental health professionals, I'm depressed, and she was clinically depressed and on medication, but she was saying, I'm depressed because of my sight loss. And they were saying back to her, but you can't be, you've always lived with it, so why is that different? And talking to her friend after the event, they very much said she went through the normal life knocks that everyone goes through, but there was something about the sight loss on top of that that made life even heavier for her. And when she one of the attempts of her life led her to a mental health unit where they wanted to do some assessments about how she was feeling, and they gave her those in paper format, so she couldn't even access the help that was out there for her in a way that made sense to her. And I know that was something that she felt really betrayed by, the fact that she wasn't seen and nobody listened to her voice. So I think it's different, but the impact's equally as difficult, I think.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right, because there is something about living in a sighted world with no sight, and even down to that accessible, like things are more difficult to access without a sight. It's more of a challenge. So and these things, if you put in the normal ups and downs of life with an underlying challenges, that can really exacerbate them.
Yeah. So and being able to act, I think it's hard enough to ask for help at times, mm-hmm. and to be asked for help and then not get the help that you need in the way that you need it must be really soul destroying.
Yes.
When you've been brave enough to say I'm not coping, and then being able to access the help if you're sighted. So yeah, it'd be really interesting to know, people listening to this, what mm-hmm. their experience has been around, mm-hmm. you know, the impact on their emotional resilience, mm-hmm. and whether or not, if they've lost sight or they've never had sight, or sight, they've had poor sight since birth, but it's declined. Mm-hmm. Because I think even if you've had poor sight and then you lose that last little bit, mm-hmm. that must be scary too. Yeah.
The scary last bit, yes. Mm. Yes, I can.
I think in my work, that's been the kind of, a lot of clients that I speak to, that's their biggest fear.
Mm. Yeah,
that last
they have, bit. Yeah, they have limited vision already, and then they're really worried about losing that last little bit of vision. That's come up quite a lot for me.
Yeah, and I think, Amanda, you said something important there about asking for help. And I think there is something that we're finding, that it is difficult for people with vision impairment to ask for help, you know, with their mental health. Like, it feels like there's some kind of pride of I can do this, I've got this, I'm going through the world bravely, but actually asking for help when you're feeling down is a good thing to do.
And accessing the help as
and
well.
It's hard enough to ask for it, and then when you can't access it because it's set up for sighted people, it's like, why do I bother?
Yes.
Yeah, why do I bother? Sure. Do you think there's a parallel there between, you know, when you are visually impaired and you're having to ask for help on a daily basis anyway, do you think that makes it harder to do that because you're asking people to guide you here, or maybe to help you, you know, just do those everyday tasks? Do you think there's a worry about being a burden, and that's an area that you feel like, maybe I don't want to be a burden in this area as well?
That comes up a lot for me as well. I'm a burden on my family, on society, you know. They're really anti that. When anyway, I've always struggled to understand exactly why that happens, but
And I think there is a stigma about talking about mental health, isn't there? Mental health is a bit of a taboo, you know. You don't want to admit really that you're needing help or support, because you're trying to struggle away by yourself.
So would it be really useful for the group to think about, the group who are listening to this, the Blind Pen Pals group, to give us some feedback about what their experiences have been, and have they wanted to ask for help and not been able to ask, or they have asked for help and not been able to access it, or they have gone for help and found out that they've had to educate people around their own sight loss rather than just get the help that they need when they need it.
Yes, I'm nodding vigorously here.
Yeah.
Yes, that would be
probably
really...
can't see that on the podcast.
Or hear it.
But I think that's right. And I think that's where the group can help us understand more to get a kind of flavour of what's it like in where you live.
Yeah.
You know, and what is mental health has got a stigma in your part of the world? Mm. And how easy is it to access?
I think that's, again, that location bit. So it's about whether or not you're sighted or non-sighted, how you acquired your sight loss, always had it, got it later on in life, but also where you live, because I think the UK would say that they had pretty good mental health services, but we find so many issues with blind and partially sighted people accessing those support services, you know. But in other countries, maybe there aren't so many services available. So if you're isolated, not connected to your group, there aren't the services, what are you going to do at that point? Who do you talk to? And I don't suppose we were also advocating that everyone talk to a counsellor. What we're saying is, how do you get the support?
Yes.
How do you keep your mental health as healthy as perhaps the rest of your body?
Yes,
as well.
Absolutely.
There may be other ways, but we're interested to hear about that as well, wouldn't we?
For sure.
Okay. So that sounds a task for us all, for us to think about it. Yeah. We went with this subject today because we looked at the feedback from the group last time. If there's something there that you particularly want to hear more about around this subject, please put that in the in the comments. Miguel regularly checks the comments and we'll feed that back in. And we're hoping to get the next podcast on in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Yep. So please get going. Tell us what you want to hear more about.
Yeah.
So thank you, Mari. Thank you, Miguel.
Thank you.
Thank you, Amanda. And goodbye wherever you are in the world.
Yeah, from Belfast.
From Belfast.
Yeah. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.